It is March 20th, 2023. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast.
Oh, mine was terrible. It was really weak.
Well, you guys pop the bottle, but we'll start with a little cocktail, doing a new thing now. Every Atlanta United win will be a cocktail featuring the tears of our fallen. So I did a little last lemon word drop tonight. I did a last word, green chartreuse gin, some Luxardo cherry liqueur and lime juice. So RIP Portland.
I'm just drinking some smoke wagon.
Nice. The bourbon tonight will be Sazerac.
Nice.
Skin that smoke wagon, Dan. It is, like I said, it's March 20th. It's a beautiful Monday evening in Atlanta, especially following Saturday's festivities. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley. Over there, if you're watching on the stream in the top right, your top right. And then Dan James down below. How are you guys?
And fuck
undefeated.
One of two. Oh, this makes me so mad when Kevin's gloating. Well, Kevin's gloating, but rooting against our team to win, even if it was one match. It still sticks in my craw a little bit, just the tiniest bit. Yeah. We have Bradley D. So Kevin's typing in the chat with his burner account while he's recording and drinking. You're really good with one-handed typing. We have Nathan Explosion, Michelle, Brittany S., Richard Gordon, Kendrick Brock. Kendrick saying Kevin do a drink for each goal during the show. All right. Are you going to chug that drink, Kevin?
No, that sounds terrible.
So is that like a Portland? Is that like a Portland cocktail?
No, it's just a green cocktail. Like I said, I'm going to do a. It will either be a cocktail from the city or a color in the theme of the opponent that we beat. So,
gotcha,
Tim. What's the over and under he carries this on? How many games do you think he carries this on for?
So hold on, I'll set the over under at 7.5 games.
Wow. Wow, I was thinking like 2 or 3.
I'm just wondering why you both think that, whether you doubt my dedication or you think Atlanta United's only going to get that many wins.
No, I doubt your dedication.
No, come on.
Oh, no, I was thinking about it from even without wins. I was thinking you would do it, but...
No, just wins.
Because it's only the tears.
Just win, baby.
Right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. No, I hope you prove me wrong, Kev.
What would the Toronto one have been?
Something with Campari or Grenadine or something in it.
Or like a Labatt Blue. Something like
red.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something shit.
Or something Canadian. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Crown.
Something with like Charlotte. Maple syrup. Something with maple syrup in it, like a maple old fashioned or something like that.
And the Charlotte one would have been some sort of pimento cheese Manhattan or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm,
or no, Manhattan, or it'd be like I guess you'd have to do blue carousel, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly blue. See, carousel, there's a whole thing here, man.
Yeah,
there's a lot of pimento
cheese.
Orlando will be some the creme de violette or whatever, the purple liqueur. Yeah,
it will be Mad Dog 2020, and if it is anything else, I will be highly disappointed in you.
It'll be a grape Four Loko.
Oh, gross.
Oh.
Do they still make Four Loko? I thought they banned it.
Nope. They nerfed it. A high gravity White Claw now.
Whoa.
Yeah. Awesome. The Four Locos got neutered like way back in the day. They kept them on the market, right? I don't know. I mean, I don't know the difference, but from what I'm told, they were quite different.
The black market. I've got like a wine cellar full of Four Loko. Stock just keeps. Everybody bought into crypto. I was buying into Four Loko. The FTX, the Four Loko exchange, is still at an all-time. The FLX is at an all-time high.
It's fitting because that is quite the flex, having a seller of Four Loko. Hey, guys in the trap, how are you feeling on this Monday evening following Saturday's absolute drubbing of Western Conference? I wouldn't call them rivals, even though it was a rematch at home of the 2018 MLS Cup. But yeah. How are you guys feeling?
I feel better after the broadcast leveled out to Brittany S's point. I think everybody was getting ready to rage riot with the Apple TV stream for the first, I think it was like the first 10 minutes of playtime, where I just assumed my TV was messing up because it kept blipping in and out. And then the first Portland goal that got overturned, they went to VAR and I had no idea what was going on, why they overturned it. Like, had no idea because it was so bad and cutting in and out. I don't know if it was because they had 7 games streaming simultaneously or some intern was in there wiggling the cord or what, but it was, yeah, it was unbearable for a while. But no, it feels good.
They must have sorted something out on the replay because I watched the replay and it was a bit blippy, but
yeah.
To be fair, I was like, 7 drinks in because we'd got back from a date night.
You're blacking out on
fine,
your own.
Fine to me. But yeah, still better than Bally Sports, all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it would take a lot to have me want to go back to that model, that level of broadcast, that whatever, anything. Kevin Egan on the broadcast, right? Mm-hmm. Which is great. I hope we get as many matches with him as possible this season. For obvious reasons, I do miss him being our full-time broadcaster. That is one thing about the Bally Sports days that I do miss, is that consistent broadcast crew with him and Mo Adu and Jillian Sakovitz.
Mo Adu, I think he's gone to another team, or do they share him around now?
They share him. Yeah, no, it's okay. Like Apple TV just rotates their broadcasters.
Yeah, I miss Mo Adu. He was my favorite.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. Also, I really like the crew in I was watching the MLS recap.
You say you
show,
like the crew? The week of the crew? You're saying how much you like the crew?
I'm talking about rowing. I'm talking about rowing, Kevin. but no, the crew on the MLS recap show that they do. I think they do a good job too. Yeah. But yeah, 5-1. 5-1.
Who had that on the bingo card?
I think, what did I say last week? 3-1? Dan, I think you said 4 something. 4-0,
no, I said 2-0. I did, to my credit, I did say it could be a heavy goal tally.
Okay. You know,
okay,
what?
Okay, Sam Jones.
Like, that sound. I was going to say, okay, that Sam Jones. Like somebody writing articles and saying they're going to struggle, but to be fair, they could also win, you know?
Go back and listen to the podcast. I certainly did not say we were going to struggle. I said we were going to dominate.
You said we were going to struggle. I said it's like a certain someone in the media.
But you were comparing me.
What's that?
You were comparing me to him, and that's not.
That's because you did. Right. You said one thing, but then you said, but to be fair, I said this completely contradictory thing. So I was
but
right.
It wasn't contradictory.
Was
it was a 2-0 win.
In Dan's defense, he thought we were going to win both scenarios. Yeah. He wasn't pulling for a draw.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, unlike some people on this podcast who pull for draws.
Exactly. You know what reminds me of? You know what that reminds me of is the person who watches a movie trailer and is like, this is either going to be good or it's going to be bad. Like, okay. Okay, so.
That's probably me.
Okay, you've got like 2 of 3 scenarios covered. I don't think Vegas. Let's you bet on red and black on roulette, and then you're gonna get the 00. Like, how often is that?
Dude, happen, right? You talk about Vegas. When I was at that conference last week, coworker went to, after like one evening at the end of everything, they went out to the casino on the outskirts of Phoenix and sat down at the poker table. First hand got dealt straight flush, ended up winning 20 grand on the first hand they got dealt, and just cashed out with 16 in cash and just left.
good for them. Good for them, man. That's that's not an easy thing. Unbelievable. I don't think to do. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh. I don't know that I've ever seen a player score a perfect 10 on who scored. I don't think I've ever seen a player have a 10 on there. Tiago Almada has a 10.
I have never seen that either.
Yeah.
Tiago Almada had a 10 from Saturday. That's with, I say only, but only an 87% pass percentage. So, like, he was that good that even having some errant passes.
Yeah. But so many of them were just unbelievably good. I mean, him switching the field on a dime multiple times throughout the night was a sight to see, much less every other key pass that he managed to find. Like, I'd love to see his heat map, because I don't think there's a bit of red on it. Like, unless it's the whole field is red, because he was everywhere, man.
I will pull it up.
It was it was the best performance I've seen out of an Atlanta United player. He really is.
Yeah.
Really is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we say that generally, you know, with an element of hyperbole about a lot of players, but
like I said, I knew there would be no red on that. It's just everywhere, man. He's everywhere. Dan, we've talked a lot about Almada in general and how great he is and what a skill he has on the ball, but more and more seeing these kinds of performances, like, I feel like with the amount of people that we've had come through this roster over the past 4 years, let's say 3 years, you know, players that have some level of talent or capabilities that's like, yeah, you can see where they could be good, whether that's the likes of Moreno or, you know, Hyndman or Barco or, you know, any number of the people that have come through here. I've had, like, personally, I've had this weird sense of, like, hesitancy to acknowledge how good Almada is over recent months, let's say, like at the end of last season and going into start this season. It's like, yeah, he's good. I mean, I say it in jest, but honestly, like, whenever we were doing the transfer numbers that we were all predicting about, like, is it 40 million or whatever, it's like I took the low a lot because of that, of like having this hesitancy to like acknowledge a player being a standout, because it's not just one performance here or there, but it's a matter of like a consistent basis of turning out top tier level performances. And 4 weeks into the season, man, he's given you that week in and week out with different people in the lineup and different people on the roster with different rotations. And it's fucking awesome, man.
Yeah. He's been he's fantastic. And I'm just enjoying the time that he's here, because it's so fun to watch. He's like, you know, when Almiron would get on the ball and he would just go, you would get this like feeling in your stomach, like, yeah, fucking go, Almiron. But he's just so crisp on the ball, so clean, so just glides around opposing players. He's fantastic, man. I love seeing it. I love it.
There is just a gulf of talent between him and the next best player in MLS. And I don't think that's hyperbole.
Which sucks, because it sucks to say that, because the next best player right now, at least leading the Golden Boot race, as far as I know, is Caleb Wiley. So
Or is Joao Klaus leading the Golden Boot race with Tiago Almada? No, he's third. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah, he's third. He has three, I mean.
Yeah, so Thiago Almada's got 4. Caleb Wiley's got 3. Jesus Ferreira's got 3. And Joao Klaus has got 3, along with the diabetic himself, Jordan Morris, with 3.
Nice. Yeah. So Elliot Beaven posts the question, who is better, Almada or MLS version of Almiron? Completely different types of players, I think, but I think I would take Almada in this current form in terms of making the team that much better. The way that he's facilitating is absolutely insane. The way that he trusts every single player that is playing around him does nothing but breed confidence, especially among the players like Caleb Wiley.
Yes.
He just makes everybody better.
And the one thing that he has, that Almiron has, is he has an infectious positivity. Like, it is...
Absolutely.
It is crazy, like, how happy he's getting whenever he or anybody else on the team, he seems to be the first one to congratulate somebody else who does something well.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's just great to see the entire lineup, top to bottom, be getting that sort of distribution and elevated level of play across the board, because they're all playing off of each other so well. And it starts and ends with Almada, really. You know, to your point, Tim, it's like you've got Caleb coming in and playing lights out, getting into space. We talked about it like week two of like, he's getting into these spaces. He's just not getting that final touch. And seeing the active coaching on the field from a playmaker like Almada to get him in a space to be able to capitalize on where he's positioned himself on the field without having to be like to take the hero shot or the hero pass, like it's going to build that confidence in himself that it's just going to pay dividends. I mean, you saw that with his cross into Giakoumakis for his goal, really. I mean, Caleb crosses that in off of a switch from Almada on the opposite side. It's awesome, man. Top to bottom, team play. It's not just one individual standing out, however that individual is still standing out. It's like, is this the first game in MLS or in Atlanta United history where you've got a goal scored by all three of your DPs in the same game?
Oh, that's a tough question. I'd have to...
Man, I don't even know how to look that up.
I'd have to phone up Teotl Football.
It definitely never happened. It hasn't happened in the past 3 or 4 years. Like, if it happened, it would have been in the first 2 years whenever it was Miggy, Joseph, and who was our third then? Was that Vialba?
Tito.
Or was that... Or exactly.
First season,
I don't know that we had any games where all three of them scored, unless it was maybe that Minnesota game.
Or like, I think they did in Minnesota, and I think they did against New England.
Gotcha. Because that was the 7. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, it's not often that you have that sort of buildup where you're getting goals scored by all three of your DPs, one of which has been, you know, coming into his first start in the team, basically, you know?
Yeah. Should we get into the game a little bit? I mean, I guess, go for it. So, I mean, I know everyone has been talking about Almada's just stupid free kick. I mean, good Lord. But, I mean, for me, I think a very close second to that is the Giakoumakis goal, based on, to your point, Kevin, the build-up, because of Almada switching it out to Araujo, then Araujo switching over to Caleb Wiley, and Caleb Wiley basically making a inch-perfect cross to find the forehand of Giakoumakis to throw it in there. I mean, just, man, I wish I'd been in the building for the game. I mean, that's got to be one of the best Atlanta United games ever.
yeah, absolutely. Especially coming off of the way it started, right? Like, you go into that and, you know, Portland comes out and scores in the first 2 minutes, and then you're going, what the hell is going on? You know, I know everybody goes into this match thinking on paper Atlanta should get the result that they ultimately end up getting, because of all of the roster issues that Portland has going into that match and all of the injuries they have. But still, to go down 1-0 2 minutes in, even with it getting overturned, it's still a wake-up call for everybody on the field to say, we really got to tighten up and figure this thing out quick, because regardless of their lineup and who's in and who's out, they're fully capable of scoring and scoring quick, you know?
Yeah, it was, I feel like, I thought it was offside. I thought it was the right call to overturn that goal. But if that had counted, I feel like it would have been a much different outcome of the game. Just a great hit by Williamson. And it's like, come on, guys. But,
yeah,
you know, can't. And it's so funny that it was Nate Skoda that was in the way that got them offside. Because if you go on Portland Twitter, they freaking cannot stand that guy. He's just awful. He's kind of like, he's like the, you know how Cabral is to LA Galaxy? It seems Nate Skoda is to Portland Timbers. So it was very fitting that he was the one who overturned that. But
well, man, I agree. Like about the Eric Williamson hit, and what a hit that guy had. That was a hell of a goal. If it would have counted. But yeah, for the team to be able to bounce back, knowing that they were susceptible. Granted, that was kind of like a, not a flukish goal, but that's not something that is consistent with a team like really dominating you or anything like that, or posing that big of a threat. He found space and unleashed an absolute banger of a goal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's still good to see them be like, yeah, like you said, Kevin, wake up call, right? And like, it was like, oh shit. Or maybe Dan said, whoever said wake up call. I go back to how seemingly one-dimensional people thought we were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that were just like, oh, we're just going to bang crosses in all game, get up and down, you know, get up the wings all game, bang in crosses, have nobody to get on the end of it. But we're seeing how much versatility we have in our ability to put the ball in the back of the net. And you think about pretty much every goal coming from a different, it was a different type of goal almost for every single, all five of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Free like, kick, header, kind of like a, for Almada second, it was kind of like a lucky little dribbling ball into the bottom right-hand corner.
It was a scrappy goal, honestly.
Yeah,
it was clean, but it was a scrappy goal. And those are the types of goals like you need to be able to score in MLS, because there's going to be shit bouncing around in the box, and there's going to be guys who are going to give you a little bit of space like that. And even if you're Thiago Almada, you're going to get that kind of space in MLS sometimes. But yeah, the first one, the Caleb Wiley's goal was outstanding to me, because obviously the defenders kind of fucking muffed that clearance or whatever they were trying to do there. And that second bounce Almada got on, and you're not going to dispossess him at that point. And you have a break. And even if you have two or three guys that are breaking on an entire back line, that gravity well pulled guys in too, right? Like, and Caleb Wiley once again finds space, because Thiago Almada is pulling guys off into another direction. And as a result, I mean, if he keeps getting fed those goals, he's going to, or fed those balls, he's going to keep scoring.
Just the effort that he put into basically knock two Portland defenders into each other to head the ball like a few yards in front to get on it and then make the assist to Wiley. It was just, I mean, holy shit, man. That's like,
right,
legitimate Champions League type play with making those.
Yes. Runs. 100%. And what I kept having go off in my head every time Thiago Almada touched the ball was the, he does what he wants chant.
Right.
Like he does what he wants. Like it is like he looks impossible to dispossess while he's on the ball. It's insane how good he is. And it's all done with intent. Like every touch that he takes is seemingly with intent to get the ball forward and to find somebody in space.
Yeah. He's always looking around. It's like, so with Moreno, so my biggest issue with Moreno, he just wasn't fast enough. And then second to that, it's like he wouldn't see passes. It's kind of, Araujo is still guilty of this, I feel like, but
head down versus head up, right?
Yeah, it's like it's when you're playing FIFA and you obviously see some guys in front of you, so you can see the whole field, so you can make the pass. You're watching guys get open and you're expecting the Almada to make that pass to them, and he does it. And that doesn't always happen all the time, because you know it's a lot different on field level when rather than watching it from the 200 section, but you're right. His vision is incredible. He's just such an engine room for this team. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the next game, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah. So I went back and pulled that Minnesota game, and that was not
all three of them scored.
Huh? No.
All three of them scored. They had like four or five games in the first half of the first season that they all scored.
Dude, it was Joseph Martinez, Miggy, and Jacob Peterson. Those were the three people that scored in that Minnesota 6-1 game. I've just pulled it up. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that that's happened before.
It definitely did happen.
I'm trying to find where it did, because it was I'll pull it up. I had the wiki scores up, but it was gotcha. You're right, that Tito shows up because he had a yellow card. Sorry, I saw that as an event and thought it was all of them scoring.
Gotcha.
Where did I see it?
But while you're pulling it up, while you're pulling it up, I'll echo the sentiments that you guys were saying. Like, the thing with Almada is, and you see it in the cutbacks and replays of where his eyes, it's like watching a quarterback, like a high level quarterback, stand in the pocket and make a throw. You know, his head is up. He's surveying the field and seeing where players are going to be in space. And he's taking opportunities, anticipating where they're going and leading defenders with his eyes. Like, he's got this crazy no-look pass to Giakoumakis at one point where Gigi cuts inside at the top of the 18, and Almada's not even looking at him. Like, you see him, like, his eyes are darting all over the place to see where everybody's going, and then he leads the defender one way with his eyes and then no-look passes it inside to Gigi, making a run in. And it's like, that's what you want. Like, that's like 40 chess on the field, right? Like, you're not just playing the go-to pass and setting up the plays and getting players in, like, getting players into space is one aspect of that, yes, and getting the ball to them, but being able to throw defenders with not just skill but like those intangibles of being able to lead players just with your eyes is something that's a big standout for me.
Did you I think it was Doug Robeson's either reporting or his podcast, but he was talking to Almada, and was it Almada or was he talking to Pineda? Either way, it was either Almada or Pineda was talking about how Almada's staying back to practice those types of free kicks during practice. And he was practicing with Diop and actively trying to get him to move in the wrong direction just by where he would be looking with his eyes.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
The other thing that I've really liked about, I know Almada's going to get a lot of attention and rightfully so. And I want to say, like, part of me wanted to come on and do the jokey thing of like, Giakoumakis has been with the team we're four games in the season. He's only scored one goal at this rate. He's only going to score eight by the end of the season. And we traded Joseph Martinez for this guy. However, like, I've loved watching him get in. Like, he's just sunk his teeth into this, like, it's not the heel role, but like, to me, it's this like tongue in cheek, I will play the Joseph Martinez role that you all wanted Joseph Martinez to play, and that he was very successful playing with his number, biting at the back line and drawing. I don't care if I draw six offside penalties throughout the night, I'm going to bite at that back line and just force them to constantly play on a swivel, because eventually the timing is going to work out. The back line's going to take a misstep and he's going to be right there biting at it, because he doesn't have to drop back into the mid to do the stuff that Almada and Caleb Wiley and Gutman and Araujo and everybody else is doing. He can literally just push that back line and push it and push it and push it, to where it's inevitably going to break one way or the other, whether it's with a through ball or a cross inside that he can get on the end of, like what he did with Caleb, you know?
Yeah. And even if, you know, it just helps keep the defense honest, because he doesn't benefit from it, he can, you know, leave it open to somebody else while they're looking at him.
Right.
Yeah, I love it. I think he's a great fit. I think he's a great fit. This could be a really special season.
Yeah.
Well, to go back to like the variety of goals, you have so many different types of threats now.
Oh, yeah.
And you have ways of getting them all the ball. And I feel like MLS defenders should be a little worried at this point, knowing that. Granted, if we stay healthy, this also makes Franco Ibarra's job a lot easier as the holdup man to the back line, because especially as we get further into the season, you can't just double and triple team Almada knowing that Giakoumakis can score, Luis Araújo can score,
Caleb Wiley can score. Yeah.
They're all going to be bombing in, and as a result, you're going to be pulling midfielders further back down, and you're going to have less and less pressure coming through our coming to our defense. And I'm very excited about the way that this team has been constructed and the way that Gonzalo Pineda is putting them out there on the field, because they're gelling really well, but also the formation and the instruction too, because it's not always formation that you see where the guys are, you know, going in, as we've talked about with the left wingers going into midfield and that sort of thing. It's been a sight to behold. So I'm very excited about that. Let's see.
Yeah, we got to shout out our boy Mills. I did not realize that he had gotten married. So big congrats to you, Mills. That's awesome, man.
Absolutely.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, congratulations. Cheers, brother.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
I did prefer Cristiano Milzanado to Mill Zombie, though.
Mill Zombie, yeah. Yeah, Kevin Brown, our buddy, saying GG's hold-up play is great too. A lot of times he would get a difficult ball in and he would lay it off to the exact person he needs to while carrying a center back like a backpack. Mm-hmm. He plays big.
Got those big shoulders.
Too. Dude, he absolutely plays like a brute too. Like he's not, I feel like he's not looking for, he's not looking to go down or anything like that. It's fantastic. Kevin, I was just going to go back. So you're right. It was definitely not the Minnesota game, but if I pull it up on the screen, in June of 2017, Tito, Miggy, and Joseph all scored against Columbus at home.
Oh, it was the Columbus game.
Oh, wow. Man, you guys had to dig deep for that one.
But yeah, I mean, that's to say, I mean, it's not a common thing, you know, in general, and it's certainly not been common for the DP positions that outside of the first 2 years that we've had, like we've wanted to say that we've got scoring DPs in the lineup and in the roster, but ultimately, like, it's just not really been the case, and they've not panned out the way that we've wanted them to. So to see that really happening now and you're sort of getting your money's worth out of these guys, like that's all I can ask for, you know, as a fan. And I mean, I think that's what the front office, that's all they can ask for too. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
100%.
So.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we've been clamoring for, man.
Right.
Yeah. Shout out to Portland for actually trying to play football. I love that.
There was not a bunker. Like that was the whole thing, right? It's like, are they going to come in and just bunker because they've got so many injuries and everything else and just try to get a point out of it? But no, they tried to go after the game.
Yeah. And I like that because that's their identity. That's their personality. Yeah. That rather than trying something different, you want to put your system up against the toughest test. So you can really, really push it out. I kind of feel like that's what Columbus will be doing this weekend, but being more.
Yeah, I wanted to share this and give some credit to Rob Osry. This is one of my favorite memes, and I don't think it gets used enough. But from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh yeah.
He said, "When Gonzalo Pineda sees an opposing manager do anything but park the bus against his team," and it's Dennis from Always Sunny driving and saying, "You dumb bitch." It's just so perfect. So we do have a bit of a lineup problem that Anthony Neisel Cristiano Milzanaldo talking about Derek Etienne and Caleb Wiley, because Wiley is progressing a lot faster than anticipated and Etienne's proving to be a substitute at this point. So
Yeah, and I'm totally okay with that right now. I am totally okay with that right now. If Caleb Wiley is doing what he's doing, I don't know how you can justify taking him out if he's doing that consistently. Like, if that falls off, by all means. I mean, it's not like ETN's not going to get play time, but I don't know how you justify it. Even with the price tag, it's – I mean, we had that same conversation before whenever there was – who was it that we were talking about on the back line before whenever we signed Franco? It was Franco and – was it Franco and Campbell? And we were like, who's going to get the start? And it's like – Franco, like you've brought him in as a DP, like he's gonna start, like regardless of how well he's playing. I think you say that to some level, but whenever you're talking about the production that Caleb Wiley's had four games in right now, that it's really tough to justify sitting him and stunting that development whenever he's giving you everything that you're asking for him right now.
Yeah, you got to play the hot hand. Yeah. I think, you know, as games start racking up, you know, we're going to have this League's Cup coming up. And then, you know, there's just the Open Cup when that starts getting going. There's going to be opportunity for players.
Even international break, man. I mean, you got international call-ups and stuff like that. Some players might need, you know, you don't want to beat this team into the ground because they're playing so good. And you've ground them down and you're missing a quarter of your lineup 15 games in whenever you've still got another potential 20 to get you through the season and playoffs. You know, like, that's not what we need to get out of this team. It sets, if you've got the opportunity to sit these players, you really need to do so. And I don't know, it's champagne problems to Mateo's point, but it's also great that we're in that position that maybe we really don't have to hedge our bets and only go after Open Cup. You know, we can maybe make a run at both cups for the first time in multiple years now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're without, speaking of the international break, we're without three guys going into the break, right? Luis Abram, Thiago Almada. Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Machop Chol got called up. Etienne. Who else did?
Etienne got called up.
Etienne. Oh, right. Almada. Yeah. I guess in terms of the starting lineup, just two guys, right? Miles and Thiago.
Yeah. How long until Caleb gets a call up, though?
And Giakoumakis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm not with it right now, I guess.
It's Abram, Almada, Chol, Etienne, Hernandez, Giakoumakis, and Robinson. It's like...
Well, we've seen we can score with Miguel Berry in the lineup, even if he's not the one scoring. Yeah. True. Unleash Wiley. Play Wiley at striker this weekend.
Dude, you've got, I mean, if anything, that's been, I think, out of the DPs, the big sort of sticking point for a lot of people, and you guys were talking about just a little while ago, is like some of the frustrations this season has been with Araújo and his consistency week over week. And it's like the past couple weeks, he's had great weeks. This next week, if these guys are all out, it's his week, man. Like, it's his show to run if they're not in the lineup. And that's a great position to be in as a DP with the other two out, you know?
Yeah, do you want to go through? So here's the lineup I was looking at. So obviously Guzan in the back line. You still got Gutman, Parada, and Lennon. And then it looks like Noah Cobb is the next guy up with Abram and Robinson out. And then my midfield is like Ibarra and Sosa. And then I'm having Sadic play that 10 role with Wiley, Berry, and Araújo up front. I don't quite know what else you can do. Yeah. Rather than like, I mean, I guess people have been talking about playing Araújo out of position, but I feel like it's better for him to just stay where he's been consistently going, just so he can help with that consistency in terms of his mentality of how he plays. But then also learning to play with other people in those other roles. Because, you know, we want him in the strongest role.
Yeah. I like the call of Sosa and Sadic as double eights this week. That'd be fun.
Would you still stick? So would that be? That would be a 4-1-2-3?
Three. Yeah, something like that.
Oh, interesting. I don't know. I look at the 4-2-3-1, and I think you could still play it. with the personnel that you have? Do you not think you could?
No, I absolutely can. That's how I've got it lining up in what I just rolled off. Yeah.
Yeah, so let's go through that then. So how many starters did we say that we've got out? Three or just two?
Three starters.
We have
Miles, GG, and Almada, right? So who are your three that you're calling up in into the starting lineup this weekend?
Barry instead of Yako.
Yeah.
Sadich instead of Almada. And Noah Cobb in place of Robinson.
No George Campbell?
No, he went. George Campbell he traded him to.
Oh, that's right. I'm such an idiot. Sorry.
Well, Dan, that's so by you're inserting Sosa into the lineup too, right?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Because you said Sadich is the number 10. Yeah, anyway, yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Because last game we had. Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. You're right, Tim. Ibarra and Sadich were playing behind Almada against Portland. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to be all right. It will be a nice test for the lineup.
You're saying, so who are you saying up top?
Wiley, Barry, and Araujo. And behind them in Almada's spot, I'm putting Sadich.
I thought you had Conway up top for some reason.
Mm-hmm. No, he's got loaned to Phoenix Rising.
When did that happen?
Like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay.
That's good for him. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, no, that's great.
He needs to be playing USL Championship and not MLS.
Yeah, and Machop Chole has been kind of taking on that position, it seems like, anyway. You know, it just with the roster we've got, I don't know how – you want three forwards basically, unless you absolutely have to.
So,
and now, to David Dixon's point, it wasn't Phoenix, it was San Diego Loyal. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
No, I thought it was Phoenix Rising.
No, you're right. Who's at San Diego Loyal? Andrew Carlton was.
Yeah.
He was, yeah. I don't know where he's at nowadays.
No, it's I mean, it'll be exciting to see the so you know, we talked about it. Inevitably every win so far this season has come with an asterisk. Do you still put asterisks on a game like you?
Oh my god, no. Scotland?
Not a game you win 5-1.
And surprisingly, this is the first game that I haven't seen much of that.
No, yeah. I put that on Twitter. I was like, this is promising. Like, this is the first time I didn't see a tweet that was, yeah, we won, yeah. But it was Portland.
Yeah.
Like, but, I mean, Charlotte won this past weekend, right? They beat Orlando this past weekend.
Yep.
Toronto won 2-0 against Miami.
Over Inter Miami.
I believe. Yep.
And four over games. Over Joseph Martinez.
Yep. Joseph has played 4 games, 300 and what was it, Kevin? Like 350 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Still no goal.
No goal.
He's just not the same guy.
No, he's not.
Yeah. So, granted, San Jose got destroyed at the hands of St. Louis this weekend. MLS leading St. Louis this weekend. But San Jose are still a pretty solid team. St. Louis are leading. They haven't lost. They haven't drawn.
St. Louis is definitely the team to beat right now, man.
Yeah, their press is just unrelenting, and it seemed like San Jose just got far too cute. I mean, they're not creating much XG, I believe. It seemed like, I don't know, Cade Kyle just doesn't seem to be doing much so far this season. I mean, I know he's still very young. But
is it 19?
Yeah, I mean, I had expected San Jose to pull something together, but I've been kind of downplaying St. Louis just because I don't believe it. But
first team in MLS history to go 4-0 their first 4 games in the league.
Yeah. We'll have to see where it goes. But I mean, Klaus just seems to be the perfect guy to be the spear tip of that system.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like relentless press. I mean, they really have put a good job together emulating that Red Bull press.
Yeah, yeah. It's it has been fun to watch. One thing I wanted to ask you guys, and then we can get back to Atlanta United. I was thinking about St. Louis. Nashville did really well their inaugural season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, yeah. Austin, another team that did well in their... Wait, or did Austin not do well in their inaugural season?
I don't think they did well, but they did really well last season, the second season.
Never mind. Completely disregard what I was going to say. I was going to try and liken it to just like a new pitcher coming up and teams not knowing how to handle them their first year in. But
I kind of think that's something similar with St. Louis. I don't think teams do know how to handle them right now.
It's a whole new set of personnel. I mean, you have some guys with MLS experience, but the guys that are really leading the team between Klaus, Giochini, like they're new, basically newcomers. I think Giochini played last year, right, in MLS, and maybe he played a little bit before he went to Europe. But
Wasn't he playing with Orlando last year or something?
Yeah, I think so. Before trying to get World Cup minutes.
Yeah, but Klaus and Stroud's been a really good signing for them. He's been productive. So, and am I right in saying that goalkeeper's been pretty good as well? They've got, I think they have Matt Hedges. I feel like I'm mixing a lot of teams up. But
No, Matt Hedges. Yeah, Matt Hedges is with, he's with Toronto. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Charlotte's been the worst expansion team most recently.
I don't know, man. Cincy had a tough slog for a couple years there.
Cincy,
I mean,
was really
true.
Bad.
They were
wooden
tough
spoon.
Going for the first 3 years or so.
Very good point. Yeah,
and dysfunctional, not just bad, but dysfunctional in the way the team was constructed, the manager situation, like
that's been.
And I don't.
That was rough to watch.
Yeah. I don't recognize a lot of the names on the St. Louis team sheet, so that's not saying. I was going to say that's not saying that they don't have MLS experience, but it's just they've been pretty impressive. Oh, even beside Kendrick's point about the back passes that they got in the first couple of games that they had, but they've been quite good.
Yeah, Anti Knights or the Loons have been there since 2017. I agree. I'm surprised Adrian Heath is there, still there, but you know.
I mean, they won this past
you
weekend.
You do you. Right, but they haven't... we beat them in the Open Cup final. Other than that, it's been just kind of... It's been kind of meh, right? I mean, they've been getting into the playoffs, but they've never
I think it took them 3 years to finally sign a DP, so there's that.
Yeah, the ownership was in complete disarray when they came in.
I mean, that doesn't really help much. But
yeah.
No, not at all.
Any other thoughts on the game from this past weekend?
I mean, we didn't really talk that much about the free kick. Holy shit.
Dude.
Like,
woof.
I think that aside from...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, aside from the Roberto Carlos outside bend free kick, I don't know that I can think of one in recent memory that stacks up to what Thiago Almada did on Saturday.
It's just,
and I'd be happy to like revisit some, but
it was laughable, man. Like it was, he stepped up to the ball and we're sitting there watching it. I go to Stacey. I'm like, he's going for this. Like you saw them set the little 3-man wall stunt that they've been doing for him. He's standing in front of him. Like he's going for it from 30 out. Like he's going to go for it. And it just, oh my God, dude, just the angles that the cameras were able to get both from behind his field of view as he's running up to the ball to see the trajectory of the ball, and then from inside the goal to see the same thing as it goes out of frame and then curls back in was phenomenal. Oh,
just incredible. I mean, who is the only other player that you have seen do something like that or has the capability?
There's only a handful.
Yeah, but that guy right there.
Yeah, yeah.
His Almada's predecessor.
Yeah, yeah. It was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it was And of course, like, just like everything else, I saw a lot of tweets of like, yes, it's a great shot. Yes, it's a great goal. However, like, tactically, Portland kind of didn't do themselves any favor. Like, you're 30 yards out. Why are you setting a four-man wall? Like, and like, they could have gone with a two-man wall to give the keeper at least a better chance to cheat and see where the ball was headed to get in a better position, like, to have enough time to react. Regardless of all of that bullshit, that ball was put in the one place that he had to put it to have a shot at it. Even if the keeper was able to cheat that side, he still had to make a play on the ball. Like, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it I just feel like the little three-man wall we've been putting in front of the free kicks, I feel like that's been a pretty underrated thing. Now, of course I don't watch all the soccer in the world, but I don't think I've ever seen another team do that, to like put your own wall in to screen the opposing keeper. Yeah. It's much better than someone lying down in front of, behind the wall. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah. To Mac Mazinski's point, Nick Raimondo didn't think it was that good. Well, Nick Raimondo's a fucking dumb shit then, isn't he?
He's a hater. He's a hater and a half.
It's obviously like not even comparing apples to oranges, but comparing apples to like pumpkins. But that was always my favorite thing to do playing soccer in high school, was on corner kicks to get like two paces in front of the keeper and just jump up and down and just block his field of vision entirely as the ball was coming in.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Sun did for Charlotte, didn't
they? Yeah. That or the sniper, I'm not sure.
That pesky sniper.
Talk about Brad Guzan, man. For hit, like, his saves or lack thereof are like, it's like a blooper reel sometimes. Like the one that Portland put in that just like lobs up. It's like going in slow motion. He's like just bumbling over himself to try to get over to that side and falls down. It's like, oh my God, come on, man.
Yeah. He's good in the air though.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Oh God.
I don't know that that's I have good. Anything else from the, it was good to see Arujo score again.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially if, like, to fight and dig that goal out too. I think that was great to see.
Yeah. I think top to bottom, I mean, performances have been great, you know. So I guess that's enough messing around here. You guys know what time it is. It's been long enough.
Built it up for
52 minutes. It's time. Get ready for the download.
Oh, a different banner color, huh?
Oh, it is different.
A little bit more subtle.
Can you imagine this being your walkout music if you were like a UFC fighter?
It just gets so like it'd be that Conor McGregor, you know, the yeah, God, this guy.
What, throwing chairs into buses?
All right, cool. Columbus Crew. Big arrival in the summer of Cucho Hernandez, the 23-year-old Colombian center forward from Watford. He came in the summer, and since his arrival, he's had 9 goals, 2 assists in 16 appearances, which is pretty good. That's about half a goal a game. Before that, from Watford, he had like 5 goals, 3 assists in 28 appearances, which is about 0.2 roughly a game. So not too bad. Big pickup. Watching some of the highlight reels, though, he is an industrious striker. Great pairing with Zelarayan. He's very active, very just sprightly. He will pick out a volley. He's industrious. He's wants to give it his all. Thanks, Mel Zombie. But the great thing about Columbus is they want the ball. They are just behind Atlanta with possession percentage in the lead. Atlanta is leading the league, and Columbus is right behind them. So I imagine they're going to come in And Wilfred Nancy's a decent coach. I mean, he's going to want to play. He's not going to want to bunker the wall too much. So he's, I feel like they're going to come in and play. And it's in Columbus, so that gives them a step more confidence. So it's going to be a good road test for Atlanta, especially with, like we said earlier, Almada, Yoko, and Robinson out. But the good thing is Columbus Crew has a defender who's been sitting in, center back who's been sitting in the middle of their defense all but through the beginning of the season. He's played every minute of the season so far, and that is Milos Dejanac. And he has been called up to Australia. So a big piece of that center, that defensive line, has been called away and will not be playing. Also, our boy, who one of the keepers we've made look like a freaking superstar in when he's come to Mercedes-Benz before, Eloy Room, has been called up by Curacao. And so he won't be there. In his place, we can one could assume that when the Columbus Crew played the Philadelphia Union, Schulte, their backup keeper, who's a younger keeper, but got demolished 4-1 by Philadelphia. So I imagine he will be the guy taking the place of Eloy Room at home. And then, of course, the man himself, Lucas Zelarayan, has been called up by Armenia and will also not be playing. So I feel like the one guy who is going to be as good as, like, well, I mean, he's not going to be as good as Almada, of course, but he is an incredible threat. He is, I mean, all their play, all their attacking play goes through Zelarayan. He's one of the best players in the league. He's one of my favorites. He's so industrious. He's such a good handler of the ball, puts it wherever he likes it. But of course, he's not going to be playing, so that's fantastic too. So, Columbus have been a little bit unlucky. They haven't had the best of results. I mean, Philadelphia Union beat them 4-1 in the opening game, but they beat DC United 2-0, drew 1-1 with Toronto in Toronto, and then this past weekend just lost 2-1 to the Red Bulls and really got pinned in their own half against the Red Bull press. So even though they still had a fair amount of possession, let me pull up my stats for a second. Anyway, they had a fair amount of possession, but it was ultimately the Red Bulls that pushed them over the edge and really got in their half. So if Atlanta can keep that press going, you could pretty much bend Columbus into have a really difficult time trying to play out. But you've got to watch Cucho Hernandez. He could be like that Brunelleschi type guy who just gets out and could probably nick one on the counter. But I feel like it's going to be a little bit more equal in terms of possession, like it was when Columbus played Toronto. They had about a 50-50 possession. So I will be really surprised if Columbus bunkers at home. I just don't think that's something that's really going to be out. Oh, Bruno Cuba saying Cucho is out with an injury. I didn't see him getting subbed off, so maybe he is. I'd have to check that. But either way, I'm kind of confident on this one, even with, you know, kind of more of a backup squad. But I think we could win this game 2-1. So that's what I'm going to go with, 2-1.
1-1 here.
That's the Kevin special.
1-1. 1-1.
I don't know. I like the way we press, and I like our possession. And I was going to say going in. Sorry, Kevin. I wasn't trying to talk over you. I like us to win this game. I like us to win this 2-1.
My whole thing is just, I don't know how Atlanta lines up. Yes, you've got a couple players out. Yes, you think that the lineup's fully capable to put this away. If Cucho's out, that's a benefit. But at the same time, I don't know. I feel more confident in a 1-1 right now. you're going on the road too. Yeah, I'll say 1-1. Everybody in the trap. Let's see here. Elliot Beaven 2-2. Mill Zombie, same deal, draw for him away and without Almada. Bruno Cubas, 2-1, believe. Mateo, 2-1 with Barry getting on the board. Brittany S., agreeing with me, 1-1, the people are coming around. 1-1, I'll take it, as well as David Dixon with a 1-1. A lot of draws in the trap tonight. A lot of draws.
I think a draw is a good prediction.
Yeah. Now, look, man,
it's a good safe prediction. I mean, if you want to be like safe about it, you know, some people, you know, like to put like hot sauce on their wings or have, you know, mild or medium. Some people just like butter. They just like butter on their wings.
You think I'm a butter on my wings kind of person, Dan?
Yeah, if you're going to do it.
You're sorely mistaken. Ooh, even Matt Wisniewski on all aboard the draw train. Matt Wisniewski also saying 1-1. The people know. They know who is the best at the score predictions here amongst the trio.
So Columbus have scored 5 goals this season. They've only won one of their matches. They've given up 4 in one, 2 in the other. I don't know that New York has really been blowing people's doors down with scoring either, and they won 2-1. I mean, Columbus's only win is against DC United. They're without Cucho Hernandez. I don't know that anemic of an attack. Granted, they're going to be going up against Caleb or Noah Cobb and Juanjo, but I don't know. I am certainly not scared of this team. So, and I don't imagine they're going to pose that big of a threat.
Yeah. Oh, another one, Richard Gordon. I'll be good with 1-1 draw this week because of all the call ups.
God, I'm going to be cheering even harder.
Man, I hope we fucking win now, all of y'all. All of y'all, Kevin. God,
what did you say, Kevin? What did you say, Dan? 2-1. 2-1. Yeah,
still a win, Tim. It's still a win.
Who do you guys think scoring?
Wisniewski. I love butter. I love butter too.
I like Miguel Barry to score a goal, and
Miguel and Butter probably to Arujo. Score. Like Miguel Butter, to score.
Mm-hmm. Love that
ooh, I like it. I like it. Revised prediction from Mateo. 2-0. Just to be the anti Kevin.
Yes. I like it. Yes. Good job, Mateo.
That's great. Ooh, I like the Bruno Cubas. Gutman scoring. My bet was on Arujo slotting at home, but I'd love to see Caleb Wiley get another one.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, Gutman could have had. I think he had 2 pretty good chances.
He had 2 wide open.
Almada set up for him.
Oh, man. How, like, to see Almada play so great, how disappointing was it to have him have that one opportunity right in front of the goal with the ball crossed in and he just fucking skied it to, like, the upper tier of the stadium, just one on one with the keeper with the cross coming out? Like, what are you doing, dude?
Do you think when he gets to the camp in Argentina, like Messi's going to be, so who are the guys you're playing with? And Almada's like, Andrew Gutman, Brad Kazan.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that'll do it for tonight. Anything else? Did I miss anything?
No.
Nope. Yeah. Elliot Beaven, Wolf scores. I hope Wolf, I haven't seen Tyler Wolf play for, I can't even remember the last time I saw him.
I haven't seen
him
play since last year.
Yeah.
Did he play at all?
Did he play last year?
Yeah, he did. He did the game that you and I went to last year, Dan.
Oh, at Charlotte?
In Atlanta, the game that you and I went to. He was playing
last year. Yeah, it was Charlotte.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying in Charlotte. I was like, we didn't go to Charlotte.
We will, though, one day.
I think it was the Charlotte game, yeah. But yeah, last time I think I recall him playing.
I mean, I've heard good things about him.
For a good part of last year, right?
No, that's true.
He was on loan to a club in Belgium, I think. And then he feels like he's forever in U.S. men's national team camps.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Did you see Owen Wolf's goal for Austin over the weekend?
No.
I mean, it was a bullet.
His little brother?
Yeah, he was probably like 25 yards out, just rifled it in there. It was really good. It wasn't as good as Armada, though.
That's awesome.
It was lower tier.
Was it last? It would have been not this past weekend, but the weekend before, right?
No, it was last weekend. It was against Real Salt Lake.
No, it was on the 12th, though. They lost this weekend. Austin did, yeah.
Oof.
Against Houston in one of the Texas derbies.
Man, what was I watching?
I don't know.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in and hanging out with us. If you want to join the fine folks here whenever we record, be sure to like and subscribe on YouTube. Hit the bell icon to get a notification whenever we go live. Thank you guys so much for tuning out. Another great turnout this year. You can always tell when Atlanta United's playing well because the trap fills up real quick, which is great for us. So thank you guys for tuning in each and every week with us and hanging out. So I know you can find us all collectively on Twitter at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled B and the number 4. Individually in a couple different spots. Tim, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Tim Herb.
And Dan, what about you?
You can find me at DNJMS.
Find me at The Architect at _ARC1TECT. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time. As always, be home before dark. Dan's just giving up.